This is East Carolina All-American Bryant Packard, and we're talking Pirate Baseball and the Sports Objective.
You're watching Extra Innings, presented by PGXGloves.com on the Sports Objective. Join us every Sunday night on Facebook Live, our YouTube channel, and X as we talk East Carolina baseball. Land lies the previous week while also taking a look at what lies ahead. Now, let's talk Pirate Baseball.
Welcome into Extra Innings After Dark, as we're brought to you by PGXGloves.com. As the Pirates have a great week 4-0, and appreciate you guys hanging in there with us tonight. As Commissioner Richmond has now got the headset on, and I appreciate Bubba Rosenbaum all the way in China Grove. Thank you for your patience tonight, and same thing with the great Matt Memphis. China Grove, Bubba Rosenbaum, and Matt Semenza, Matt from New Jersey, who now is in the Commonwealth of Connecticut. I think I'm waiting for Matt to come to the screen and like just choke me, and then
it's not a bad song. It's a little slow. It's a little slow. Yeah, I want something a little more upbeat. You know, like Metallica, Enter Sandman will be good. But what's going on?
It's kind of Eddie Rabbit kind of guy.
No, I don't. He had some good songs. It's just not a walk up song.
Yeah, it's just not a walk up song. But
that's all it is.
Hey, a late night edition tonight, fellas. You got the women's March Madness games on. I have UConn in the background, but looking forward to catching up with you guys about Pirate Baseball.
No doubt. I'll tell you what. Thank you, Justin. He says, I'm fired. You got your civic duty. I apologize, guys. I was hoping to be here around 8:30 to 9 o'clock. So it is what it is, as they say, but I'm really excited about our Pirates. I feel very good about our trip to Raleigh tomorrow night. And our first chance to play against AMAC, that's going to be interesting. But when it's all said and done, I'm real excited about our chances. And, you know, guys, I was telling you about being a part of the Wizard of Oz behind the scenes like I was a few weeks ago. Like Dorothy said, there's no place like home. You get four wins. RPI yesterday after the – or excuse me, Saturday after the game was 15. I don't know what it is now. I know that our audience probably knows, but had a really busy day at work, so didn't get a chance to check that out. And also the polls, I didn't get a chance to see that as well. I haven't, but glad to be here.
The Pirates rose to 12th in the D1 baseball poll after being 15th a week ago. But just a couple things about that 4-0 week. Coming off the series loss at UTSA, you knew the Pirates would – you really felt like they would bounce back just – the fabric of this program, and when we did just that, certainly was not an ideal start against the Seahawks, falling behind 4-0, and but then started to chip away at that lead. Chaz Myers had the 2-run bomb there in the bottom of the second, and I think that's where the game remained until the middle innings. Jacob Starling had a 2-hit game, had a big RBI single there in the bottom of the fifth. It got us within one. And then, we put up a three spot in the bottom of the seventh. Ryan McChrystal and Justin Wilcox and those Pirate catchers and, DH coming through in a big way there and tacked on another, I think, in the bottom of the eighth. Right, obviously, it had to be. And then, so a 7-4 win. And
Matt's already snoring.
a great way to start the week, and we'll talk more about the RPI and I'll look up exactly where the things stand. Still a little early to take that into consideration, but as far as the RPI is concerned,
he says we're 13th. JR, thank you, JR. Johnny Stats. You know, we had Johnny Football years ago, but Johnny Stats is way better than Johnny Football. The Pirates are currently 13th in RPI.
But not only do the Pirates take care of their business going 4-0 with the what will probably end up being a pretty good win against the Seahawks. UAB, on the other hand, is a different story. But so you took care of business and like you needed to at home against the Blazers. But the Pirates' best, the best feather in our cap thus far is clearly our series win over the Tar Heels. And the Tar Heels, I think, 25-4 now, something like that. Swept Wake Forest.
That was huge.
In Winston-Salem. So not only do they sweep the Deacs, they got a road sweep, which carries even more weight. And, we don't necessarily like it when North Carolina wins. But, in this case, we definitely benefit from the Tar Heels' success. So that combined with some of our other opponents doing well, it's kind of a perfect storm to get us to where we currently are in the RPI. So hopefully we'll continue to have success and those teams that we've played will have the success that we need to be where we like to be at season's end.
Yeah, guys, by the way, Semenza and Rosenbaum, you guys can stay with me at the regional or super regional. You guys are welcome to hang out with us here. I know it's a little bit of a drive, 45 minutes north of the stadium, but you're welcome to stay at the hotel right here, Hotel Richmond, if you'd like. We do have Wi-Fi.
Appreciate that, buddy. Always.
I don't have a pool or a bar like the Semenzas do, but we do have clean a bedroom.
Clean sheets.
Yeah, clean. We have HBO. We have all the streaming services for you. Hot water.
Well, I appreciate that because listen, if we host a regional, I will be there for sure. So I'll take you up on that, Dave. But I'll tell you, a big week towards reaching that goal of hosting the regional. And you look back at that Wilmington game, and it's a really critical win for our program because you face a lot of adversity. You're coming off a tough series on the road against Texas San Antonio. You come back home, a midweek game. We all know, it's been kind of a struggle there at times. And you find yourself in an early hole. And
nothing, right?
Right. Yeah, right away. I mean, you're down early. So you're facing a lot of adversity there. You're kind of questioning yourself a little bit as a team. And then, all of a sudden you come up with a huge rally and you're able to pull that game out, and you're getting contributions again, guys like Chaz Myers, right, who came awesome. Through with a bomb. so that was a critical win, and yes, I really liked the way Dave. I really liked the way that the team, they took that early punch, but they were able to quickly rally and then put that game away.
Yeah, and the great thing about it is, like we talk about, when you had those midweek games, everybody's like, oh, we can't win. Well, we're winning them now. And this team, I'm telling you, the only way that we have a collapse, I think, is if we have a whole bunch of injuries, God forbid. I don't see that happening. But you got a kid like, I tell you what, Riley Johnson, he deserves all the accolades. The dude is so hurt and he still can perform at a high level. It's amazing what that kid, coach talks about that before the game, what he goes through, the prep work and all the rehab and all the stuff he's doing during the week at Young's. But, man, I tell you what, I'm just proud of this team. The pitch, how about this? You only use four pitchers for a doubleheader. Is that insane or what on Saturday? On Friday, you only use four pitchers on Friday. That was just nuts.
Yeah. I had the opportunity to, in the last minute, I decided to attend Friday's doubleheader. Anytime, traveling the distance that I am, where you can get two games in a day, not have to spend a night, that's a plus. And and so Trey Savage and Zach Root, not their best outings, particularly Zags. And Trey was definitely a better performance. I think 6 1/3, something like that. Two runs, five hits, 9 strikeouts, and then Zach, 7 innings. Like Cliff said post game, you know, he really has matured from the standpoint of not having his best stuff and then finding a way to work through it and still pitch 7 innings, 2 runs, 5 hits, and I think 7 Ks for Zach. So, while definitely not his best, still clearly good enough to win with. And because of that, you had the luxury of only using 2 relief pitchers in that doubleheader, and Wyatt Lunsford, Schenkman, and Jake Hunter. Interesting there. It's a role that he had last year, I think. 22 appearances, and a large percentage of those, probably about 80% of those 22 outings for Jake Hunter, were out of the bullpen in 2023. And so it's a role that he's comfortable with, and he looked very comfortable coming in with the Pirates, just a 1-run lead, 4-3, which proved to be the final margin, and allowed, I think, just 1 hit in those final 2 innings of work as he picked up the save. And Coach Godwin referred to him as a Swiss Army knife, being able to start, you know, short or, you know, kind of intermediate to long relief.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's great to see our pitching staff. You know, we were talking about the bullpen and all, Bubba, but bullpen is looking a lot better. Those guys are getting more experience, and when you got the likes of Danny Beal and Lunsford Schenkman and those guys, Eric Ritchie has really come into his own. He's got a lot of great stuff there. Those guys are looking good. And then you got the young guys. I think it's a good mix. We have the older guys, but yet you got some talent. So next year, it's just like we talk about all the years. We continue to just reload. JR. Makes a great point here. Look at this, Bubba. Pitching definitely carried the Pirates last week in sweeping UAB despite having only 2 extra base hits and no home runs all weekend is impressive.
Yeah, that was something that we were discussing off the air, and that is the way in that series against UAB, the Pirates had a total of 25 hits, I believe 8 in each game of the doubleheader, and then 9 on Saturday. We had 12 in the win over the Seahawks on Tuesday, but Friday, definitely not a day for offense. The wind was howling in, and
it was crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. The wind was blowing in pretty good, to say the least. And so you knew it was going to be a day for small ball. And that's one of the many reasons that even though a lot of people, you know, get frustrated with the fake bunt and steal, the, you know, bunting for a hit and sacrificing safety squeezes, suicide squeezes.
I love it.
I love it. And the pressure that it puts on the defense, and then situations like that with weather or maybe, you know, facing a really good arm where you can, in essence, bunt them to death and demoralize them with what you can do with your short game. You know, with all the bunt game, hitting and running, et cetera. And that's the thing. I was talking with a fan at the game during the doubleheader on Friday. You really look at it, there are very few guys, if any, in our lineup that you don't feel confident in their ability to lay down a bunt. I mean,
right. That's correct.
Yeah, people get frustrated sometimes when they see JC or Justin Wilcox and some of our better bats or better power options laying down a bunt. But I love it. Just not all the time, but just so much of the time it's necessary. And it was Friday with the score of the game and the way the weather was working out. Was not a hitter's day by any means.
Correct.
And, you know, we did an excellent job of getting those bunts down, ran the play once again, you know, where we had runners on second and third and got one down to score 2 runs, Joey Barini coming through the clutch.
Yeah, we were talking about that. Matt Simmons and I were talking about that. The suicide squeeze is one of my favorite plays. And my great uncle, for when he was with the Giants, used to do it all the time. And I tell you what, it was Nowak, right? That was at second base, I believe, off the top of my head. And, man, he came a-blazing because I knew we were going to get the one run. But when we got that second run, I about cheered it. When you're not supposed to cheer in the press box. And thankfully, I caught myself. But I wanted to cheer so bad because that was – that was great. That was just great. That's one of my favorite parts of the weekend.
Yep. Correct. That was, that was impressive. I mean, fooled the cameraman. The cameraman was focused on the Joey running to first base. And, like you said, the Nowak or whoever it was on second was literally halfway between third and home. When the pitcher picked up the ball and decided to throw it to first and get the out there. And like Cliff said, that's a very tough play to defend. And even if you've practiced defending it, then, you know, who knows whether
they were. Hey, Bubba, I don't know if y'all could tell the radio and television. What was great about that play is I just happened to look to my right. And they knew it was coming. What was great is UAB knew it was coming and they couldn't do anything about it. That was fantastic. And of course, Shaq, as he's known, Joey Barini, that bunt was just excellent. Everything about suicide squeeze has to be, you know, it can't be off by anything. And just the fact they did that, that's the kind of stuff that, you know, when people talk about that's boring or whatever, if that's what it takes to get to Omaha, would you do it? The answer is absolutely. And so, excellent game plan and the execution by the players. You think about all the great players we have. And, you know, I think Coach Godwin said it best, guys, is that he has a really tough job this year because they have so much talent and managing. How about a guy like they talked about Igo and Patrick Johnson did with him today, with Coach Godwin today? How about a guy like Cam Clonch? The guy is special. The guy is clutch. That's what I call him, Cam Clutch. And, you know, he's not a guy playing every day, and the guy's a senior, right? I mean, and he's a great teammate. He's great at everything he does, in my opinion. And, I mean, that just tells you how great the team is. A guy like him is not starting every day. Wow. And he's got a lot of – I mean, he's talented. It's not like
it says a lot of says a lot for Cam, obviously, but then also, you know, the culture that's been built within our program.
They want to win.
That S in Pirates is for selfless.
Yeah.
And Cam Clonch is certainly the epitome of that. That he's, you know, Cliff's talked about him multiple occasions in interviews over the last several weeks and just really commended him on his attitude and the way he's mentoring a lot of these young players. And he said, sure, Cam would like to play more and he'll get his opportunities throughout the season, but he couldn't be prouder of, you know, the attitude and the way he's mentoring the younger guys. And, you know, he said when he speaks up in the locker room, because of that, what he says carries some weight.
And, Matt, I was going to tell you that save up your vacation time. June, I know, is a tough month for Matt, but it's just these guys, they said it at the media day, by the way, fellas, about how this team is extremely close. And you can tell by how bad this team wants to win. The Starlings of the world, the Wilcoxons of the world, the Cam Clonch of the world, the seniors, they want to win badly. They want to send a statement out for this program and their legacy of going far in June. I don't know how far in June we'll go, but I tell you what, guys, we're sitting pretty right now. And this week, you got the NC State game. You got four away games. If we can do well this week, guys, have you looked at the schedule after that? I mean, you have Charlotte. Let me backtrack here a little bit. You have Elon, Old Dominion, and then Charlotte. You have the William and Mary game, but then you have Wichita State, NC State. You got a whole bunch. My point is, you got a whole bunch of home games. If you can somehow deal with this road trip to NC State and to Boca to play at Florida Atlantic, it's going to be this is a really special week this week if we can pull it off. Win, you know, three games, 3-1, 4-0. Wow.
Yeah, to your point, this schedule has been a little atypical, no doubt about it, as far as more road games in the first half of the schedule.
Yeah.
But, you know, after going to Doak Field on Tuesday night, and we'll discuss that game against the Wolfpack here a little bit more in a few minutes, and then a big series against a very, very solid FAU team this weekend down in Boca Raton. But we play 9 out of 10 at home, like you were saying, with Elon, Old Dominion, that Charlotte series, and then a home game with the Wolfpack. The series with Wichita State, followed by a home game with the Wolfpack.
Right.
The only road game in that 10-game stretch is on Tuesday, April 16th, at William & Mary. So, you know, from April 9th to April 26th when we travel to Memphis in that stretch there, that 2.5 weeks, you won't play a game or more than one game away from Clark LeClair Stadium.
That's my feeling is that that's what I'm saying is you can do a good this week. We'll take one game at a time. You play really well against NC State. You go down to Boca, play really well down there. I'm telling you, man, I know that, in fact, I didn't put it up there, but I know that Justin Butts, Bubba, he feels good. He feels that, let me put that up there. He says, I think we get this week and hosting looks good. I agree with you, Justin, because that very thing, the teams that have beat us are doing well. We're doing well. And then having a homestand, it's going to be great. So,
yeah, clearly we want to go 4-0. But if you go 3-1 this week on the road, you win at State, and then you take 2 out of 3 down in Boca.
I'll be happy.
Yeah, that would put you at 23-7.
Yeah,
23-7. So. Yeah, sure. We hope we're 24-6, but you know, if you come out of this week 23-7, and then you know either 6-3 or 7-2 in the league, you're in pretty good shape. And we'll run through those American Athletic Conference standings here momentarily. But and getting back very quickly to that series with UAB, I wanted to talk about the performance on Sunday.
Man,
excuse me, Saturday when you were there, Dave
Norby,
Ethan Norby. We talked about Jake Hunter getting the 2-inning save in game 2 on Friday evening. But you had Ethan Norby getting the ball, his second start, I think, of his career, but first weekend start.
Correct.
Man, he was very good. 4 no-hit innings, did not allow a run. 6 strikeouts, did have 4 walks, but those walks, you know, for the most part, you know, well, I think 2 of the 4 were maybe on 3-2 pitches, you know, where batters had quality at bats and maybe fouled off a pitch or two, and then he just missed on the 3-2 pitch, and then he had a couple where maybe he threw 4 straight. But all in all, you know, his command was probably a little bit better than that 4 walk number would lead you to believe. Some close misses, but on the whole, an excellent first weekend start for Ethan Norby. It was great to see.
Yeah, you know what's great about that kid is that, in fact, Cliff talked about that after the game on Saturday. But he's been working his tail off, and you know we knew that he was special. That he's a great kid and he's also a great pitcher. And he was, you know, the guys we tend to forget, these guys are so talented that he's only a freshman. You know, he won't be a freshman much longer, but he didn't. I will tell you this, Bubba, on Saturday, I didn't text you guys, but he did not look like a freshman. The command, the poise he had, it's like you're watching. Wes, what's so great about college sports? You watch these kids grow up overnight pretty much.
Yeah, and I think, guys, it's huge to develop the additional guys that have starting pitcher ability, you know, like Gorby, because you just don't – it's a long season. You don't know what's going to happen. I mean, you know, fingers crossed, nobody gets injured. But throughout the course of the season, you know, you're going to deal with those things. And, you know, the Cliff's ability to develop the lineup up and down, top to bottom – early in the season, you see him use a ton of arms, and sometimes you wonder, hey, like, why is he using all these guys? But I think there's a method to it, and what he's doing is he's developing from top to bottom the entire pitching staff. And so the ability to have a guy like Norby to come in and get that start at home, perform like that, and now he's now grown his confidence. You know, that's a huge thing for this team, and really happy for him. And, you know, like I said, it's just another guy we can count on.
No doubt. I'm excited because Cliff was talking about that, Bubba. He has that flexibility. You know, and I tell you what, we are so talented now that, Matt, to your point, that, you know, a Jake Hunter, he could start. Oh, wait a minute. It could be Norby. It could be this guy. It could be that guy. And it keeps the teams honest. I mean, how do you prepare for – you got to prepare for a whole bunch of different pitchers that they could potentially start. So yep. I really like it. I like that. It's a good problem
That's
to have.
That's a great point, Dave.
Yep.
Like, from the opposing teams trying to prepare for you, they don't know who you're going to throw at them. So that's a really good point.
It's great to have another lefty, you know, in addition to Eric Ritchie, and obviously Zach Root, but you know, yeah. A guy that can perhaps be, you know, be kind of a swing Swiss Army knife type of starter or reliever in Ethan Norby. You know, you have Root, you have Ritchie, you have Norby, obviously Aaron Groller that will touch on a little bit more here in a moment as far as him getting the ball against the Wolfpack on Tuesday night. But going back to Ethan Norby very quickly, Cliff was talking about him looking the part in that three-inning relief performance of Treya Savage out at UTSA. Three shutout innings, just one hit surrendered. So now, and in his last seven innings, hasn't allowed a run, has surrendered just one hit and struck out 10. So a couple terrific outings the last two times out for Ethan Norby.
Great stuff there. And I tell you what, we're gonna need him, and we're going to need all of the arms. And by the way, Bubba, as you're putting up on the screen for those listening, pgxgloves.com, who is the pitcher of the week?
It's none other than Ethan Norby. I mean, four innings. No hits, no runs, six Ks. Congratulations to Pirate freshman Ethan Norby, you know, from not too far from me, you know, about an hour away, not quite an hour up the road at East Forsyth High School, you know, there in Kernersville, just east of Winston-Salem. And, of course, the younger brother of Orioles AAA prospect who will certainly, you know, I say certainly, hopefully, you know, with the way he's performing, he's kind of in a situation like Burley, where the O's are just loaded as the Cardinals were, and he needed some things to fall his way to get a shot in the bigs, and I think that will happen before the season's over for Connor Norby.
Well, you know, there's MLB Network. They're predicting the Orioles to go the World Series, and so the Orioles are looking really good. They won again tonight. So, hey, as long as they're winning, you know, unless somebody gets injured, man, it's going to be tough. But he's definitely a great kid and definitely a great talent for sure. And that bat of his has just been electric for sure. I'm I don't know about you guys, but I want to give a shout out to our listeners and viewers. We're recording this live at 11:30 at night, and we got a lot of people watching and listening. Thank you so much. It means the world to all of us. And don't forget our great show presented by pgxgloves.com. If you have a kid playing baseball, softball, maybe a golfer, now is the time. That weather is going to be gorgeous this week, except for I think Wednesday is supposed to rain here locally for me. But other than that, it's going to be gorgeous. Yesterday got up to, Matt, 74 degrees.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know what to say about
it, man. I want you down. I'm trying to get you and Chrissy down here any way I can to North Carolina. So tell Chrissy, yesterday, Easter Sunday, 74 degrees.
You're making Matt want to punch us in the face.
Listen, fellas, we're getting a snowstorm on Thursday.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. Yep. Oh so,
down.
I'm jealous. That's all I can say. I'm envious. Put it that way.
All right. Wow. A snowstorm. Wow. Amazing. I know now, Bubba, we need to, speaking of pgxgloves.com, we have the player of the week and, another young guy, a young gun.
Yep. Another freshman, Bristol Carter, Bristol Carter. You know, he's not too awfully far from Ethan Orby's hometown of Kernersville. Right. You have Bristol, who played his high school ball at Northwest Guilford High School. Yeah. Anyone that's familiar with the Piedmont Triad Airport there in Greensboro? That's not too far from Northwest Guilford High School. But Bristol, what a week he had. 5 for 15, I think. 3 runs batted in. 5 runs scored, had a double to his credit. So congratulations to Pirate freshman outfielder Bristol Carter on being this week's pgxgloves.com player of the week.
Absolutely love it. And what a great story. That kid could have gone pro, and he's with us. I'll tell you one thing, Matt, you are big on culture, and I know Bubba is too, but how about that kid, Bristol Carter, great kid. And he says, hey, I'm coming to, I know it's because of his, where obviously he could have gotten a higher draft pick, but he comes to us and the guy wants to play in our culture. He wants to play at Clark LeClair Stadium. I mean, it's just so awesome to see kids like that, because you're looking at guys right now. What's cool, it's almost like minor leagues where we are. And one more thing I want to say, guys, is, I know Matt may remember, but those of us, and I know Bubba, you do too, because you were, and I guess a teenager, but those of us that remember Harrington Field, every time I walk into Clark LeClair, I'm very appreciative and very grateful that we have that great of a stadium. And compared to when I was in college, no offense to Harrington Field, it's sentimental to me, but wow. And then to have the fans, we had over 4,500 on Saturday, beautiful weather. I was kind of let down because, Bubba, you had a chance to see a doubleheader, and that game went so fast on Saturday. It was like 2:35, 2:40, the game's already over. I was like, man, I want some more baseball.
Yeah, and very quickly, going back to Bristol Carter's performance, I missed the most impressive thing that he – I missed – I mean, I failed to mention the most important aspect of him winning the player of the week. And the most impressive thing he did was the catch
had
against UNC Wilmington. I don't know. I very rarely watch SportsCenter. You know, sometimes I'll see it if – most of the time if a Pirate gets a top 10 – play, you know, be it baseball, football, basketball, whatever, I'll see it on social media via X. But it very well may have been top 10. If it wasn't, it should have been. The catch he made in running pretty much full speed into the wall in the left center gap, unbelievable highlight reel catch. And I know, Matt, you had the opportunity to see that as well.
Oh, man, good call on that. I was blown away by that catch.
Was that not great?
Oh, just phenomenal. And You know, listen, we've talked about this before. Bristol Carter last year coming out of high school, he was a first team, perfect game, All-American, which is – that's an incredibly impressive accomplishment. And you know, I really – you knew the talent was there, right? And he's the type of guy, as he gets more comfortable in this role playing for East Carolina, and now we're halfway through the season, you're starting to see that talent come through more and more. He is a very talented player. And, you know, not only did he get it done in the field with that tremendous catch, that's a fearless catch to be running full speed, you know, when you know you have the wall, you know, you're going to take a direct hit from the wall. So, but then also he has the back going. And he's the guy that throughout the course of the year, he's going to continue to get better and better as he gets more comfortable here. So that's a great sign for us. And like, just from a pure talent perspective, he has all the talent in the world, all the metrics. When you look at him, you know, when you look at things like, you know, exit velo and his ability to run the 60-yard dash, his metrics are off the chart. They really are.
I did not know. I knew his bat was very good, and obviously he's a center fielder. But I really was not. I did not know about his speed until in the last week or two. I was clueless on that. I don't know how I missed out on that, but he is fast as lightning, man.
Oh, incredibly fast. I couldn't believe it. Yeah, no doubt about it. So, you know, hopefully this is a sign of things to come for him, and he's just going to continue to get better and better. And what a weekend he had, though. What a week he had.
Yeah, it's I think, and I'll tell you what, guys, not to hype him up too much, but because I know he's a freshman, but I'm telling you, the kid like Norby and when you have Carter, Bristol Carter, these guys, the scary part, Matt and Bubba, for those two freshmen, they're only going to get better, man. I'm telling you, they're only going to get better. And being that they're freshmen, that's what's scary. And I tell you what, people might get mad me saying this for that are not East Carolina fans. But get used to it because they are really, really good.
Oh, no doubt about it, Dave. And, you know, you love the fact that these, you know, hey, they're young, they're freshmen, but they're making their mark already on the program. And that's what you want to see. You know, you bring in a few guys like that every year, which is easier said than done. But that's how, you know, that's why, you know, we have this team, or Cliff has this team in a position where we are, you know, in the top 20 every year, and we have the ability to host a regional every year.
And I tell you what, I'm ready for you guys to stay with me. We're going to have a great time. And I know Bubba, hopefully he won't be doing the whistle anymore like he did 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, I guess it is now, man. I'll never forget that. Bubba was the best at that whistle because of
Vanderbilt. I was just preparing all Pirate fans around me, any that were making the trip to Nashville for the Vandy Super Regional. I was just getting them ready what they were going to hear for, you know, 6+ hours.
You could do it better than I can.
Tell you something. If I'm ever around the Vandy Whistler, I'm putting a full-on forearm shiver. You know, I'm going to cross-check him because I cannot take that stupid whistle.
It drives me insane. I know why he does it. Why those two guys are on one just unfortunately passed away, right, last year, off the top of my head.
I think that was a false report, but I'm honestly not sure.
Oh, okay.
But yes, there's one. I think maybe one did, like you're saying, but I'm honestly not sure if that was an accurate report or not. But I know one of them was much more annoying than the other.
Yeah, no doubt. But anyway, that there won't be any whistles this year because we're going to host. I'm feeling it. I feel good. I don't worry about the superstition and all that. I'm going to be Matt Semenzin tonight. Let's go for it. Balls to the wall. We're going to have a great time. And that jungle is going to be rocking. So what was the Texas coach when he was talking about people spilling beers on people? I was like, dude, what are you talking about? Do you remember that, the Super Regional guys, like 2 years ago? He was talking about, when I was with, I forgot what team it was in the conference, and they were spilling beers on them. I was like, wow.
Yeah, it could have been
He's talking about David Pierce.
Yeah.
He'd been with Tulane, and then he'd also been an assistant at Rice.
Johnny Robertson, congratulations to your Lady Huskies, Matt. Next up, Caitlin Clark in Iowa.
Thank you, Johnny, man. Paige Becker, 28 points tonight for the Lady Huskies. That's a great win. And the thing about, not to get off topic here, fellas, but UConn has about five players that are out for the season. They are very thin right now, no depth. So that's a pretty impressive win. And Caitlin Clark, I don't even know what to say about Caitlin Clark. She was literally pulling up. All right, she took a step back three tonight from about 10 feet behind the three-point line. A step back three. I think she had 10 or 11 threes tonight, 40 points. Wow. I mean, she is phenomenal. Absolutely yes. Phenomenal. I was just blown away. Pretty impressive to see, you know, the women's game is again, impressive. Not to get off topic, but it continues to elevate every year. And you're seeing things right now in women's college basketball that, you know, I personally don't think you've ever seen before.
You're correct. And I tell you one thing, I don't care what anybody says, Caitlin Clark is going to put the WNBA on the map. I will watch WNBA now because of her. And it's not because of her color like some people are talking about. It's the fact that she's really good. I don't care what color she is. I'm going to be watching because of she's – it's like the same thing with – it's like just the same thing when you – in the NFL, it might be a player, say like Patrick Mahomes, or it could be – somebody that's not even your team, but you watch them because they're exciting to watch. And that's the way with her. I could care less what team she plays for. I could care less what color she is. I just like the fact that she is amazing. Like, I will tell you something right now. I love a kid like that, that is competitive. And when you see her and she touches the ball, it scares me because you know that ball is going in. And that's how you know she's a great player.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and, you know, there is something about her that you love to watch, just like there's something about, now don't get mad at me, Pirate fans, because I'm going to mention NC State, but the kid on NC State Burns. Right now, and the best, this kid Burns, I say kid, he's a grown man. He is a fun player to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just a fun guy to watch. Yeah. He's very skilled for a big guy.
Bubba's and he's like a jolly guy. He's like Bubba, a jolly guy.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
I
love watching.
I agree with you.
I really do.
Sure. I'm not an NC State fan. I didn't want them to go on this run they're going on, but that there's a difference between pulling for them and, you know, being able to acknowledge that it's a remarkable run.
Nine straight wins.
Because that's just a fact, whether you like it or not. And yes, DJ Burns, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see. Now that they play Purdue in the semifinals this weekend in Phoenix, let's see how he is, you know, squaring off against Zach Edey, because in that game, and I know Johnny Robertson, if you're still tuned in, I know you were pulling for Tennessee to win that matchup with the Boilers up in Detroit, and Zach Edey, tremendous player, but there were definitely some times in that game, you know, if the Tennessee post players kind of took a breath in his direction, that they blew the whistle and called a foul. And there was something like 15 fouls called when they were defending Zach Edey.
Yeah. Purdue is a great program. But hey, there's something special about this state team. And I'll tell you what, I'm not a state fan, but I really love Kevin Keats. I think he's a tremendous coach. I thought the state fans were giving him a raw deal. And, you know, like, oh, he's on the hot seat. He's going to be fired. And I'm going, I just want to say so bad to the state fans now. Do you want to fire him now? The first Final Four since 1983. They had, you know, on Saturday, Sunday rather, the first Final Eight in 40 years. 1986, 38 years. So Kevin Keats, hey, you got to tip your hat. He's a class act. He's a great guy. Did well at UNCW, one of our rivals. And, you know, when Debbie Yell made that hire. What was it, 7 years ago? I was like, wow, she stole that guy. Like, what a great hire. I have to give her credit where credit's due. Great hire. And I'm happy for him. I'm happy in those players. You know, they had a tough year, some tough losses, and all of a sudden nine straight. So, yeah, some people were, you know, saying who's – I'm not on the bandwagon for NC State, but like Bubba was saying, it's a great story, and we'll see how far they go. They're not really – you know, when they talk about underdog, the reason why they're saying underdog is because you don't normally see NC State when it comes to basketball, even though I will tell you guys, they are a basketball school. They are a basketball school. They are a basketball school, and Dave Doran may not like to hear that, but they are a basketball school, and wow, great run for them. We'll see how things go this weekend.
And, you know, I will say, as far as NC State's concerned, they certainly, you know, put their money where their mouth is as far as support of the football program as well. And,
yeah.
And you know, selling, you know, boatload of season tickets, and I know they had an unbelievable, you know, ridiculously good home schedule with the likes of Notre Dame and Clemson. But you know, even in years where their schedule, you know, hasn't been nearly that appealing, you know, they sell an awful lot of season tickets, and so doesn't mean you're an NC State fan. You just just acknowledging, you know, the reality, and that there's no doubt, you know, how they support their programs.
Hey, I know we're on a baseball show, but by the way, priority deadline, is it 1 week, Bubba, for football tickets? Am I right on that? It's coming up next.
Believe so. You know, we're closing in on 8,000.
Yeah.
So doing pretty well thus far. Definitely ahead of the pace from 2023. So, Pirate fans, keep calling 1-800-ECU or going to ecupirates.com and talk to Coleman Spain or Coleman Spain, you know, his excellent staff, and you know, take care of getting those season tickets in. And, you know, that matchup, obviously, our second home game against App State, that's going to be quite the atmosphere. And you know, and that's a game where you know, the app fans will definitely show up in a big way. Probably, my guess would be, you know, at least 5,000 or 6,000 strong, maybe more. And so, Pirate fans, do everything you can and get those tickets so we can keep some of the black and gold out of Dowdy Ficklin.
No doubt. And by the way, if you want to play a round of golf, Bubba does, and I think Matt does too, at Brook Valley Country Club, you can with Coach Houston for only the starting bid is $1,250. It's going to Team Boneyard, and they have also a film session with Coach McNeil, as you can find out about women's basketball, her philosophies, and just check it out, teamboneyard.org, and they're going to have more opportunities. So I'm thinking, guys, Matt, do you by the way, here's another one they've got, Matt. Matt or Bubba. I don't know. Both of y'all are very good football players. They're going to have an opportunity at the spring game where you can kick a field goal. Are you good at kicking, Matt? I know Bubba is. That's another opportunity.
Yeah, I'm more of a punter than a kicker, but I could certainly make a, you know, PAT or, you know, a little bit beyond that.
What about 25, Bubba?
Yeah, I'd definitely say so. I'm probably about 30 to 35 now would probably be about my range. Back in the day when I was still playing, just playing around, kicking field goals when I was, you know, at my high school or wherever, just practicing punting and you know, throwing a little I think the longest I ever made, just old school towing it and just straight on kicking. I think I made one from 42, but of course that's no hole, no rush or anything like that. Just
right. No pressure.
Someone holding it on the block, because like I said, that was during my high school years, but made one from 42.
Hey, I'll take that. Matt, what about you? Are you going to sign up for that?
Well, I'm more of a barefoot kicker, like you saw with Mark Mosley back in the day.
Oh, yeah, from the Redskins.
I can nail a 25-yarder with, you know, blindfolded. But if you take me past 30, it's going to be a struggle.
I'm impressed, man.
No, I'm kidding. But as far as the golf with Mike Houston, I'd just love to get Mike Houston on this show so we could talk to him. That would be a great thing.
You can pay for it. They have some NIL opportunities. You can get Mike Houston on your show. $1,000.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. But I digress. What do we got for tomorrow, fellas? What do we got? Sorry.
That was great. That's going to be tough to follow. I thought, you know, between both of y'all, I'm giving y'all a softball there with the, no pun intended, with the field goal stuff. And man, you just shots fired. Watch out. Look out. Firing range. But anyway, yeah, we've got NC State tomorrow. And by the way, I haven't looked. I forgot, Bubba. I just realized I was going to do that this morning. Have you guys, I'm a nerd when it comes to SeatGeek. Have you guys seen what the tickets are going to be like tomorrow night? I'm curious.
I have not.
I'll look it up for you. I really don't. Go ahead and you guys. I was going to look at it this morning, and here we are almost at the end of the show, and I was about to forget. But
while Dave's researching that, we'll take a look at the American Athletic Conference standings. Yeah, through 2 weeks of conference play, you have Wichita State and UTSA, the Shockers and Roadrunners, tied atop the league at 5-1. Wichita State 18-9 overall, UTSA 16-12. Of course, Roadrunners took 2 out of 3 from the Pirates last weekend, and this weekend they went down to New Orleans and swept the Tulane Green Wave. Impressive road sweep for UTSA. The Shockers, after winning 2 out of 3 on the first conference weekend, swept Rice this weekend at X Stadium there in Wichita. The Pirates and Florida Atlantic, who of course will be squaring off this weekend down in Boca.
Big series.
The Pirates and Owls are each 4-2. East Carolina 20-6. Overall, ranked 12th in this week's D1 baseball poll. And FAU is 16-9. And South Florida and Charlotte, they're 3-3. Tulane 2-4, Memphis 2-4, and then you have UAB and Rice at the bottom of the standings at 1-5.
Yeah.
And very quickly, Dave, something, because I know we're about to wrap up the show. One of the most bizarre things I've seen at a baseball game, and I've seen, you know, the umpire give opposing coaches, you know, be it the head coach or, you know, in professional baseball, a manager or, you know, pitching coach, leeway, you know, a little bit longer leash as far as a mound visit, you know, where it may be a minute or something, minute and a half tops probably before, you either have to go back to the dugout or make that move to go to the bullpen. So I was watching Saturday's game, and I saw, you know, just how long it was taking. So I rewound it on ESPN Plus and just timed it. I said, how long was this mound visit for UAB head coach Casey Dunn? So he was mad that a 3-2 pitch didn't go his way and was kind of barking at the umpire on his way to the mound. And then he literally stood there for a little over 3 minutes. That's right, 3 minutes. And you know, the umpire knew that Coach Dunn wanted him to come out there so he could get some words in about the strike zone. And the umpire was not going to let that happen so easily, to say the least. You know, Mike Mullis on the feed, Mully was like, he said, I've never seen anything like this. He said, I think this is the longest mound visit in the history of the game of baseball.
That's right.
Of course, and Coach Doblin was saying something to Rob Healy, the home plate umpire, and then the Pirate fans were booing and getting restless, as they should have been. And, yeah, as Justin Butts chimed in, he said there is an NCAA mound visit limit, and he wants to say that that's 30 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, it's I was saying, Justin, I didn't know this, but I was guessing 60, so I didn't know, but I was guessing. It just seems like it's like no more than a minute, but I guess that's I know that's more of a subjective kind of thing, but I tell you what, that was the longest. That crowd was giving that guy grief. Oh my goodness, grief, 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 as they should be. And I know that he didn't want to go out there and maybe call. I simply said in the press box to the guys, like, I have a feeling that this coach is getting ready to be thrown out. Like,
So did Mully on the ESPN Plus broadcast. Okay. And
that's what I felt
it,
like.
It was very weird when he went out there, like, because he just made the move to the pen. And then, and Coach Dunn just made the move to the pen and didn't appear to really say much of anything. I guess at that point, he figured, I've been out here. Who knows how long? I mean, in his head, he's probably just thinking, I've made my point. If I say anything, I'm definitely getting tossed, because he's pissed. But
Justin says a 30-second timer on a mound visit shall begin when a coach exits the dugout or when a defensive player leaves their position to visit the pitcher's mound. Unless the coach signals for a pitching change, the coach must leave the mound when or before the timer expires. The mound visit clock shall not operate when a doctor or trainer accompanies a coach to evaluate a medical issue. Upon expiration of the 30-second clock, the 20-second NCAA pitch clock shall commence.
And I didn't even realize that. As far as the application of the timer there, when he leaves the dugout to begin the visit. So, in other words, now obviously there's going to be some leeway there, not 2.5 minutes of leeway, but you better walk pretty briskly or trot out there, and especially depending on which umpire you have, to make the most of your time. So, and really going back, as I think about it now, you know, I was starting that 3 minutes more so when he got to the mound. So it was probably more like 3.5 or 3:45. Yeah. And it's just so atypical that it seems, you know, something like that, depending on the context, 3.5 minutes, it seemed like it was 7 minutes, because, right. I mean, just standing there and just waiting on the game to resume. It was unreal. You felt like you were in the twilight zone.
I'll tell you one thing, right? Fans, not I'm not talking about our fans, so just listen. But sometimes, you know, fans can be outrageous, you know. I'm just saying that generically, not about ours. But I will tell you something right now. It felt so good, and I know I'm a Pirate fan. In that press box, that boo was the loudest boo I've ever heard in my life from fans. Imagine when Dunn is walking off. And I thought that he would make he was professional about it. I thought he would give some kind of gesture or something. And another thing I mentioned is Cliff told us I think it was media day. He told us in the media that he would only be kicked out of one game this year. He said, I'm promising you guys, I'm not going to go. And I told Patrick Mason that, he laughed from the reflector, but it's just a matter. I don't know about the fans out in the stands. I'm in the press box, but we were just baffled. I was like, is there something going on? I didn't know if a player was hurt. I was just looking all around initially. I'm talking about after a million. And then I went to the bathroom. I come back. He's still on the mound. it was very bizarre.
Yeah. And kind of going along with what you were saying there as far as media day, and perhaps it was an interview on Pirate Radio with,
I thought Cliff was going to get kicked out
with Cliff. I know Clip Brock, you know, he jokingly set the over under on number of ejections for Cliff at 2.5, and Cliff started laughing. He said you can bet the ranch on the under. He said it won't be more than two, and probably, like you're saying, more than one. But
yeah, Justin says, what I normally do is I'm write down the visit in my book, wipe the plate off, and then I'm heading to the mound. 30 seconds is about what we normally do. And Justin, I'll tell you what, it was very, I think the word I want to use is awkward. And I looked at Patrick Mason. I love that guy from the Reflector. He's awesome. I looked at him. I said, he knows one of my running jokes with him is, I thought we were trying to speed up the game of baseball. Whenever the home plate umpire walked up to started walking to the mound, the cheer was like we just hit a grand slam. I don't know if it played that way on TV, but it was really loud.
Yeah, I can visualize that much so like cool. The Pirate fans do when I think it was some of the mound visits during the regional, when the opposing pitching coach trots out there, or the opposing pitcher, gets a 3-0 count and is really struggling to throw strikes, and Pirate fans come to their feet, like it's a critical fourth down stop or something of that nature.
Right.
Yeah, it's unreal, because I remember Aaron Fitt from D1 Baseball just saying this is unbelievable how deafening the crowd here at Clark LeClaire Stadium is.
Yeah, he would know, right? I mean, he travels all around the country.
Yeah, he's got a good pulse on some of the atmospheres, all the atmospheres really around college baseball, because he hits up all those venues about every season, or about every other season. But before we get out of here, let's bring up the elephant in the room, so to speak, with this East Carolina NC State matchup, and that's, of course, their former Pirate third baseman who had started every game over the last two seasons for East Carolina, and that's Alec Makarevich. Made the decision. We've already discussed that. We won't talk about those reasons why he opted to head to Raleigh, but he did. And he's having a heck of a year. Last I saw, he's hitting about 350, maybe a little over 350, 11 home runs, a ton of RBI. So he, good for AMAC. And Cliff was asked about that in his weekly chat today with Patrick Johnson and Stephen Igo on 94.3 The Game. So give credit to them. And Cliff just said, he said, I'll admit that, there are a couple things I would like to have handled a little bit differently, probably with that situation, but good for AMAC. It's clearly worked out well for him, and, no ill will towards him. And, but at the same time, obviously we're trying to win the baseball game, and pretty much just left it at that.
He was classy what he said. I think that both sides could have, I think it's easy to say both sides could have handled things better, but it is what it is. And I'll tell you one thing, AMAC can have a great game, but it doesn't matter about just AMAC. It's the whole team. They've got a great team. As Coach said, we have a great team. And, by the way, if you're wondering, the tickets for Tuesday night's game at Doak Field, remember, they always say that East Carolina, that game doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter. The cheapest ticket tomorrow night, fellas, on the secondary market for SeatGeek, $58. So remember that. We don't matter. Remember that? Up to $267. Matt, can I get a loan? But remember that. We don't matter. But yeah, the tickets are $58 to $267. That's the range if you want to go to Doak Field in Raleigh tomorrow night to see the Pirates and the Wolfpack.
Absolutely. And, you know that it does matter. And, I think that this AMAC storyline is a storyline that I'm really interested to watch and see how it plays out tomorrow night. And, listen, I hope he has a great season, but not tomorrow, and not when he plays us. And it will be interesting to watch just the dynamic between AMAC and the players of East Carolina. Obviously, when he's on third and Cliff is coaching, they're going to be sort of, within several feet of each other. be interesting to kind of follow that. And listen, obviously they're going to handle it with class. You know that's not going to be the issue, but nonetheless, has to be a little bit of an awkward situation for the former player and the former coach here. And it'll just be in the, like I said, it's a storyline to add to an already exciting matchup between an in-state rival, and it'll be fun to watch.
It's not going to happen, but wouldn't it be great to see the people were like, no, Dave, but Cliff and AMAC hug each other or something, shake each other's hand or something. It's not going to happen, but that would be great, because I don't think at this point there's any ill will. I think, people need a new scenery, and maybe, I don't know, but I do know that even he can have a great game. We can still win the game. It can happen. So.
Yeah. And if they don't shake hands, and, you know, I'd be very surprised if something like that didn't happen where they shake hands and kind of have a little, you know, maybe even like a little laugh on the field, like, you know, like you see sometimes in sports. But yeah, I'd be surprised if that didn't happen. Bubba, what were you going to say?
One more comment here from a former Pirate pitcher, John White, before we get out of here. And this is,
what's up, he said,
whatever happened to Rice baseball? I know I'm posting late, but they used to have a strong program.
Amen, bro.
Obviously, the legend, Wayne Graham, when he went there, that Rice program had not had very much success at all. His first 3 years, they missed the regionals, but, you know, they steadily improved. He had winning seasons in each of those years, 92, 93, and 94. So, you know, his time there was overlapping, you know, with a lot of different Pirate coaches. But, you know, he was beginning his time there during the middle of Coach O's tenure in Greenville.
Oh, yeah.
Then, of course, you know, later on, you know, during the Billy Godwin era, that we became conference mates. But, you know, from 1995 – Wayne Graham's fourth season, when they went to the regionals for the first time under his leadership, they did not miss the regionals until his next to last season, which was 2017. Then in 2018, the Owls went 26-31-2, missed the regionals. I mean, he retires, after nearly 1,200 wins there in Houston at Rice, and it's been a real struggle since. And it's pretty mind-boggling how far that program has fallen, like you're saying, John. I mean, because every year, you know, much like the Pirates are now, you know, they're a threat to go to Omaha, or were a threat to go to Omaha, but, you know, even more so in their case, because, you know, they went to, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, at least 7 trips to Omaha for Rice under Wayne Graham, and then they won the national title in 2003 when they finished 58-12.
Wow.
So what a dynasty he built there in Houston. And, you know, in a way, you know, as long as their success isn't coming at the Pirates, you know, at the hands of the Pirates, you know, it's, you know, in a way, it's sad to see how far that program has fallen.
Yeah, from one extreme to the other, right? I mean, like you said, going to Omaha, we'd take an Omaha trip or two, where they had, what you say, 7? Oh, my goodness. But like Kyle says many times, once we knock that door down, we'll be there, I feel confident, on a regular basis. Good luck to the Pirates. It starts tomorrow night at Doak Field there in Raleigh. The Pirates taking on the Wolfpack. It's going to be a great game. And looking forward to it. Like Matt would say, a heavyweight fight, or in the a UFC fight in the octagon. It's going to be awesome tomorrow night. Can't wait. And then, of course, the 3 road games on the road in Boca at Florida Atlantic for FAU. Another great team as well. All right. So thanks to our great show presented by PGXGloves.com. Extra Innings After Dark. Thank you so much once again. I appreciate your patience as Commissioner Richmond had a meeting tonight and got here later than expected. So thank you for staying up late. If you're watching live or if you're archive, you can listen anytime. We appreciate you so much. Thank you so much. Good night, and go Pirates.
That concludes this week's edition of Extra Innings, presented by PGXGloves.com on the Sports Objective. Join us again next Sunday night as we will again talk East Carolina Pirate Baseball. Be sure to follow the Sports Objective on social media. It can be found at the Sports OBJ on X, at the Sports Objective on Instagram and TikTok. Like and follow the show on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel. When you subscribe, be sure to click the notification bell and all so you're alerted on your device anytime we go live or upload new content. As always, we appreciate you watching and listening to the show. Go Pirates!